Do you know what everybody knows, Eric?
What's that?
They can get their sweet Dark Side of the Elite t-shirt at ballergear.ca. ballergear.ca/SNME Radio Products. And they can get a sweet Dark Side of the Elite t-shirt and look as good as us.
Absolutely. If you want to look as cool as us anyways.
Yes.
The song of the week this week is actually mine and Matt's band, The Chivvies. Everybody knows. You can check us out on Spotify or Apple Music if you're into it. We're kind of like garage, lo-fi, punk sort of thing. check us out.
Well, everybody knows now.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody knows when you're defeated. Everybody knows they're all conceited.
Hey everybody, it's me, Randy, and it's the free feed this week, and we are the Dark Side of the Elite. Today I'm here with Eric.
What's up?
And Matt.
Howdy ho.
And together we are the Dark Side of the Elite, and we got our boots, and we got our hats, and just like Adam Page wrestling twice in one week, we're bringing country back.
Go and bring a country back.
That's a new one.
I thought it was sexy back.
No, we're bringing country back. I'll show it to you after again.
Okay. Is this another one of those damn TikTok things
you kids
keep going on about?
But I thought it would work well with the Hangman. That's the only reason why I said that one this week, because I was going to change it up. Eric spoiled that one last week, though, but that's okay. But it sort of fits in this. With Hangman, like I said, wrestling twice in a week, and some people are shocked on it or don't understand, but I totally get it to move storylines along and I guess get Dante out of that number one contendership. But I know you guys noticed it right away, and we talked about it in Revolution. What was up with Adam Page and his gear?
If anyone watched Being the Elite this week, right at the end of the episode, I thought something was up with his vest, how it had all the different colors on it that he wore at Revolution. I said, that's got to mean something. I didn't really clue in during the pay-per-view. But on BTE, they really zoomed in on it at the end of the show. And it's essentially the Young Bucks old, like, bright-colored gear with the colored tassels hanging off his jacket. So this is obvious foreshadowing for the Young Bucks going back to their roots and of their old-style gear of when they were baby faces. And probably a reunion of Paige and the Bucks against Cole and Red Dragon.
That'd be pretty cool. I'd be happy with that.
I think that's where this is all headed towards, right? With Kenny Omega looming in the background with since we had the surprise appearance from Don Callis on the buy-in as well from Revolution.
Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that feels like, when by the end of that show, that felt like a year ago. That show was so long. But so, yeah, that was pretty neat little Easter egg there if you're paying attention to Being the Elite.
Yeah, with Revolution, I guess we sort of noticed that Eric and I were talking about it when the Bucks came out or whatever with the tassels on it. Like very Young Bucks-ish.
Yeah.
And it was a little different. And then if you guys did watch BTE this week, you sort of see the conclusion with the Dark Order. I guess sort of not being interested or Adam not being interested or involved with it. So like phasing them out type thing.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like they're really... He's kind of, moved on, which I thought would have come sooner, honestly. Like, I thought for sure once he got the title, he was kind of going to phase them out. That's what I thought.
But it kind of started even when leading into his title match with Kenny, he kind of told them, he's like, listen, guys, I need to do this on my own. And then the Dark Order was split internally about helping him or not and stuff. Yeah. So this has kind of been, it seems like kind of just finally writing off that story a little bit where they're officially like, we're still buddies, but like, don't talk to me anymore.
I really don't know about that, though, because you know what? I think maybe he'll finally phase him out this time, and the Dark Order won't be there when Kenny comes back or something happens with Paige and the Bucks.
Hangman did give Alex Reynolds like a good shove at the pay-per-view and had to apologize to him after and all
and
that.
And Reynolds is still kind of pissed even after Dynamite. There was a bit of fallout this week still, right? It was still kind of happening. So
hair jealousy, I tell you. That's what it is.
I like how they kind of keep you guessing a little bit with this story, planting little seeds here and there. And like it feels like it's wrapped up, but they're still doing little things like that to kind of still keep you invested a little bit in what's going on there, yeah, in the dynamic of those, their friendship there.
But. True, true, true. I guess going on the next thing, the Revolution follow-up from Dynamite. Dynamite this week was very heavy, story-filled,
yeah,
promo-filled.
They squeezed as much juice out of that melon as they could. That's a terrible analogy.
You should have said like something that actually juices like carrots or something.
Squeeze that carrot dry.
Or grapes or raisins. Why are you squeezing those raisins so hard? They already had a juice.
My raisin's been out of juice for a bit. Go ahead, but go on.
I was just going to say that it was very kind of promo heavy, but I feel like they did the same thing after Full Gear or All Out. Where they completely switch gears right after a pay-per-view.
New directions, new storylines.
Like right away. It's always the Dynamite after. There's always like some crazy, like, you know, everything's switching now and this is a new era. And like it always feels like.
Right? Tony Khan was on Busted Open, I think, and essentially said as much leading into Revolution. Like, this is going to be the conclusion of a lot of stories and a bunch of new ones are going to start. They got 3 month long pay-per-view cycles. So
yeah,
I think it's to be expected. And like every single Dynamite and every AEW show is just jam-packed start to finish every week anyways. It's hard to digest everything that's going on, but they started a bunch of new directions this week. And I think what you were mentioning earlier with the Hangman match with Dante was kind of like, okay, Dante worked his way as a singles all the way to this positioning, his tag team partner's back, let's give him the match with Hangman, and then like that's kind of the end of his singles run for now and get that out of the way.
By the way, super happy to see Darius Martin back. He looked great.
Yeah, in the Casino Battle Royal.
They gave him a nice little platform there. I hope those guys can eventually be tag team champions soon.
They definitely have the potential to do so. It wouldn't shock me one bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, everything, it was all good. Yeah, Dante, even the Scorpio Sky thing, because him in the 364-day number one contender type thing, and with it being the St. Patrick's Day next week, right? The St. Patrick's Bash, is that exactly
St. Patrick's Day Slam?
So get Scorpio that belt and Sammy off the belt for the Wardlow situation. Again, it was just real quick. It went from second gear to sixth real quick.
Yeah.
So overdrive. But overall good. William Regal on Dynamite, great. Yep. Fantastic. Great to see.
Yep.
Apologize for being too long.
He went a little long apparently on a segment, but he had Tony Schiavone tearing up in the ring there. Those guys are really, really close friends. And if you listen to what happened when Tony Schiavone's podcast, he told the story of he didn't know Regal was going to be at Revolution either. So he was setting up for the Swerve debut with the contract and all that. And he had to run to the back and goes, "Where's Regal?" Yeah. Like he's around the corner and he runs over and gives him a big hug. So it's UK Fabian, son of a bitch. So good to see you. So that was a nice little story there too. But what a great signing to bring William Regal in. There's so much he can lend to AEW in terms of his knowledge in the industry. Pairing him with Danielson and Moxley is going to be really fun. And I could see him being like the on-air commissioner for like Ring of Honor down the road or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If there's lots you could do that you could get into and be here all day talking about it. But really cool to see Regal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Jeff Hardy, I guess, coming out. I'm not a big Jeff Hardy fan. This is for you, Cole.
Cole, if you're listening, but I was so stoked for you. You must have been marking out so hard.
Now all you need is Abaddon to join the AFO.
Abaddon could be the new leader.
Yeah, there you go.
But how funny were all the commentary online and all the memes of Jeff Hardy's got to get a quick dance in first before he runs down to save his brother.
Yeah. Like, just panicking, sweating over the button. Like, do I dance first or do I save him?
Right. So let me get this Hardy boy dance in real quick here. But
and their new Titantron video of them like walking down the road, Rebby actually posted on TikTok like her filming it or whatever. They filmed it outside the compound in North Carolina. It's pretty cool. Like,
I didn't even see the Titantron.
They didn't
video
show it
on
TV, but you could see it. Like if you were looking on the crowd, it was there, and like she was posting it on TikTok. It actually looks really cool. It's like them walking down. They're doing the finger gun things. But they actually do look kind of cool, even though Matt's knees are all locked up and locked over. It looks like the Penguin from Gotham.
Let's see where we're going with that.
Speaking of Cole, I do have one really funny story. So my mom was listening to, we did a best of 2021 episode with Cole, me and Matt. I think Randy was out that week, right?
Yeah, he was out.
So if people listen to that episode, Cole is like a big time collectible collector. So we had our best of 2021 collectibles, well, AEW collectibles specifically. So I mentioned on that episode that I really enjoyed out of all the new Unrivaled series, the Cody Rhodes LJN doll. Oh, yep. The figure.
Doll.
It's an action figure, Mom.
The Cody Rhodes doll. And so my mom showed up this week and she brought me the Cody Rhodes LJN doll.
Oh, no shit.
And to make matters worse, I told my mom, I said, oh, thank you very much. This is awesome. Like, he's going to be the new mascot for the podcast, right? I'll put him up with the general ring announcer on the desk, right? And she said, oh, that's awesome. I said, you do know he doesn't wrestle for AEW anymore. He, like, his contract expired like 3 weeks ago. And she goes, what? And I said, yeah, we talked about it on the podcast. She goes, I'm not cut up yet. She's like, I would have brought it back to Rinside Collectibles. I'm like, no, it's fine. It's fine. I love it. Like, trust me, don't get rid of it. But bless her heart, all she wanted to do was do something nice for me.
Yeah, you still can't go wrong getting the Cody.
That's what I said.
It looks pretty sweet. He looks like a Duke from G.I. Joe or something, man, with the blonde hair from way back in the day.
He looks like, what's his name? The guy who does like Sonic Boom.
Oh, Guile.
Street Fighter Guile.
He looks like Guile or Duke Nukem.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Eric's mom's always nice woman.
Eric's mom's got it going on.
There you go. Here's our intro song. No, it's pretty.
Sorry, we were covering that with the band the other day. I'm sorry. That's why it stuck. It popped in my head.
That's good because I'm going to need that. But yeah, Miss Reed, if you're listening to this around Easter, I'll make sure I have an Easter basket. There's a real nice Brody Lee -1 action figure that I really want to get. And I can make sure that she can get, because these guys won't get me anything.
Hell no.
Yeah, see? But I'll make sure Easter basket, Thanksgiving basket, Christmas basket, whatever you want, I got it for you. So I guess with all that ramble, should we get this started and get right into this week's Dynamite? Rampant. What show are we doing?
Let's back that up and try that again.
You're stepping on Dan and Joe's toes. Yeah, what are you doing?
So, should we get this week's Rampage started off?
Let's do it.
Nah.
Right. No? All right.
All right.
This is the Dark Side of the Elite Rampage Rollout.
What's the matter, Hangman? Can't sleep.
Cowboy shit!
I need my
to Dark Side of the Elite with Randy Charpentier, Eric Reed, and Matt Roberts.
Hello, Patreons and the general public.
This GOP.
Yes, this is Dark Side of the Elite presenting Rampage Rollout. This is Matt Roberts, Randy, and Eric. Introductions have been out of the way in our little preamble here. So let's get right into AEW's Rampage for the week. March 11th, 2022, hailing from Hertz Arena in Fort Myers, Florida. On commentary, we have Excalibur with Taz and Ricky Starks. No Chris Jericho this week.
Well, he's been a little busy with his new friends, let's say.
The Jericho Appreciation Club or whatever they are.
Yeah, the GAC.
I was like, wait, I'm like, Inner Circle 2.0, yeah. And then he throws out, this is the Jericho Appreciation Club. I'm like, what? Okay, I don't know. Workshop that one a little bit.
Yeah, just take another run at it.
So that was a fun angle on Dynamite, though, still. Chris Jericho going full-blown heel. But that is not what we're talking about today on Rampage. We'll go run down the match card real quick here. Darby Allin with Sting taking on Mark Quinn with Isaiah Cassidy in his corner. Mercedes Martinez going one-on-one with Jamie Hayter. Keith Lee taking on QT Marshall. And in the main event, Swerve Strickland versus the premier athlete, Tony Nese. So Rampage kicks off with the first match here. It's Darby Allin and Mark Quinn. Both men in the ring, ready to kick off Rampage here. And Mark Quinn, he finally gets the call here for a singles match as opposed to Isaiah Cassidy, we've mentioned a few times recently, it always seems to be Cassidy that gets the tap on the shoulder for these matches, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, we were talking about that, I think, last week with the Isaiah Cassidy match, right? So I'm glad to see them.
Even in the promo segments and like the stairwell that they always, that seems to be their office is that stairwell. He's always just kind of sitting in the background behind everyone, never says anything, no spotlight, nothing on him. So they finally kind of put Quinn in a position here to be up front and center.
It's really good to see him too, just to be different, like completely different instead of seeing Isaiah. I see all the time, but really good to see him.
So yeah, this is fresh off the angle here where Private Party has turned their backs on their dad, Matt Hardy.
Sorry, Papa. Sorry.
My sons would never downvote me. But sure enough, they...
He went off and got... No, never mind. He went off and got milk and never came back.
Went over a pack of smokes and never came back.
So match is underway here. Darby's working a headlock to start us off, and Isaiah Cassidy, he's running interference early here, and I always wonder, there's so much interference recently by everyone outside. Why don't the refs just toss more of these guys out? Give the big, you're out of here!
Well, didn't What's-Her-Name just do that?
Aubrey just did, she makes, the big motion or whatever. But like that, the Britt Baker Thunder Rosa match, it was like, okay, after the 27th outside interference thing, it's like, start tossing some of these guys to the back.
Well, it depends. If it's Rick Knox or not, we've all been told that his price can be bought.
No, he referees with a blindfold on, it feels like sometimes. But so these two, Darby and Quinn, they really seem to be taking their time early. It's really deliberate attack by Quinn on Darby here. It's not super fast paced right off the hop that we see in a lot of matches. It wasn't like three corkscrew planches before the bell rings all this action. It almost seems like William Regal's there for one day and told everyone, slow it down, guys, or something like that. But Mark Quinn, he's even working an abdominal stretch here, complete with using the heel move of reaching back to grab the rope for leverage that referee Bryce Remsburg, he catches and breaks it, kicking Mark Quinn's hand off the rope there. So a real old school spot there off the top. And they're showing Sting at ringside, and I can't believe this guy. He actually dove off the balcony through four tables at Revolution. They're 62 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible. You know what, though? I want to go. Everybody's praising that spot. And I'm saying it looked really, really good. Yeah. But listen, they had three tables. It was set up safer than the Chris Jericho fall. It was set up safer than the Chris Jericho.
Don't try to knock it down a peg. That was still pretty freaking cool.
Listen to hear me out. It was safer than the Chris Jericho falling into the pillows that time. It was way safer than that.
Regardless, I wasn't looking at it and saying, but it wasn't as dangerous as something else. It was impressive.
It looked great.
The fan cam of it, that's been out on the internet, was really cool. And Shivani, too, had a story on his podcast saying he saw Sting after that, and Sting was like, that was for you, Tony. For us old guys.
What if it was only one table and he did it from the top?
More room for error.
Yeah,
to
there
miss.
You go. So that's why three tables.
I will say the worst table spot of the week that looked the worst was Eddie Kingston taking that power bomb to that table. That was questionable.
Jake Hager was struggling to get him up for that.
Yeah, and that was really questionable. It looks like he dropped him right on his neck. Honestly.
Yeah. So back to the match here. There's a big superplex by Darby on Mark Quinn off the top, and Darby rolls right through into a Fujiwara armbar. But Quinn muscles out here, counters a sunset flip by Darby into a flipping knee drop for two, where he does like a backflip down onto the double knees.
Yeah.
Mark Quinn, he hits a DDT by like starting off in a neck breaker position and flipping over into a DDT. Real innovative spot there. Darby, he escapes the suplex and hits the scorpion death drop as both men are down here, and ref Bryce Remsburg starting the 10 count. Darby, he sets up for the coffin drop, but Isaiah Cassidy gets up on the apron for the distraction. Sting yanks Cassidy down by his feet, but Quinn shoves Darby to the floor off the top and hits a crazy 450 splash on Darby right onto the floor from the top rope.
Look great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked great, but that hurt my knees watching it.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my God.
You just hear the thwack of when he hit that floor. I know. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was no three table safe spot there, eh, Matt?
Yeah, Sting better step up your game. Yeah.
I'm joking.
Jeez. But so Mark Quinn, he leaves Darby out there trying to get the count out win. But Darby rolls in time, and Mark Quinn, he heads up to the top here for his signature shooting star press. But Darby rolls out of the way just in time and taps out Mark Quinn with the Fujiwara armbar. So I guess I don't remember Darby really going for this as a finish that often, or did I? Have I missed that?
I think he's won maybe one match with the armbar before. Yeah. But it's not like
it was Ethan Page too, wasn't it?
Maybe, yeah, I can't remember. But
it wasn't the coffee drop. Either.
It wasn't something like
the coffee drop.
The coffee drop.
The coffee drop.
I'm not good to you guys.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, it's I don't know. It's innovative. At least he's not winning the match with the coffin drop like he does every other match.
Right? I like incorporating like a submission finish into your repertoire. Like a lot of guys seem to do that. Moxley brought the bulldog choke in for him and stuff. But the only thing I was thinking is like this is very much similar to the Salt of the Earth by MJF, right?
True.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, that's a good, you're putting all these analogies pretty good lately, Matt, except for Sting, but I guess moving on, I guess,
we got to hit the post-match here, just real quick before we do.
Sorry.
Yeah. All good.
I know you don't like Jeff Hardy, but we have to hit the post-match.
This was a big part of the show. Yes. So it's no longer the AHFO, thank God, it's now just the AFO. There's like AFI.
AFI.
Not to be confused with.
Which, that CM Punk entrance at Revolution. Oh, I had chills. So good. Oh, so good. And the discourse online from it is ridiculous. Come on, people. But so the AFO comes down the ramp here looking for trouble. But here come the Hardy Boys. The music hits. It's 2001 up in here. They both come out with the see-through mesh shirts and their hair all slicked back and the big baggy jeans and everything. So looking like old school Hardy Boys and kind of scared all the heels off there. So got an appearance here from the Hardy Boys back together. So after the Dynamite segment they had, they went backstage and got all their dressed up together and got all ready for this Rampage appearance, I guess, right?
Hardy Boys have turned into Hardy Men. But
the Hardy Grandparents.
The Hardy Grandparents.
2032, you'll be seeing them coming out with crutches and wheelchairs.
Glow in the dark wheelchairs.
Yeah, that'd be
glow in
cool.
The dark depends on.
Like Lita in the fake thong. But moving on, I guess. It brings us to the first promo of the night, and it was very match heavy tonight, so there wasn't as many promos as there was normally, and this hour went by pretty quick. It's Lambert and the Men of the Year promo. Promo. Sorry, I'm having a problem today.
Men of the Year porno.
Yeah, there you go. Don't get stuck in a dryer. Lambert begins by comparing Wardlow and MJF's betrayal, or feud, I guess you could say, to comparing it to Zabisco and San Martino.
Which I've never seen any of those matches because
that's
from
thrown
the 60s,
it way back.
Way back. See, I guess a reference. Or egg. I do remember seeing them on YouTube. I don't remember ever seeing them on TV. I'm not old, but yeah, I can't remember it. But the moral of the story is that Scorpio Sky will win and continue his impressive winning streak. And he only was wearing one title.
Yeah, that was interesting because we were talking about that. Are they going to get rid of the two titles? And I guess as soon as he won, now there's only one title.
Scorpio went on Twitter after and said he gave one of the titles to Dan Lambert.
Yep.
There's no reason for Scorpio to still carry the two. One was supposed to be just an interim title. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm fine with going to just the one.
So there was a look up this week on Scorpio Sky's winning streak, and Dan and Joe were looking at it. And he did win 364 days in a row. Not one match was a single match on Dynamite. Or
it was all on Dark and Dark.
Yeah, I can't remember one match, but whatever.
So
the one thing I'll say is about Scorpio Sky winning was all the TV time they've dedicated to Men of the Year, at least they can put a little credence behind it now. At least like it's kind of had a payoff where there's some legitimacy to this group, because all they did was come out and bitch and moan and lose.
That's right.
So at least it's kind of been worthwhile a little bit for them now.
Give some
credibility.
Credibility on all those promos that they're taking.
Yeah.
But it ended up with Scorpio wraps it up with a dig of his own, saying that nothing changes in San Antonio. and he is the new face of the TNT.
Gotcha.
I love how he does the snap to end the promo at the end. He doesn't say anything the whole time a lot of times and just does the snap.
But that brings us right into our AEW Awards video package. This actually kind of looks pretty interesting.
I was going to say, isn't this what every podcast does at the end of the year? Do our AEW rundown of wrestling award categories of the year. So they seem to be doing their own kind of thing.
Did you see who's hosting it?
No.
Speak of Scorpio Sky, it's Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky.
Oh, is it actually? Yeah. They're hosting it?
Okay. If you watch Ethan's vlogs this week, Danhausen tries to interrupt it a lot. So.
Oh, okay.
You see Danhausen tried to apply for the House of Black with an application?
Yes.
Yeah. So is this going to be a TV event or something?
No,
like
YouTube.
The Emmys or something?
Yeah, YouTube. It's Wednesday, right? Or
I forget what day it is.
Or Tuesday or something at 7?
Yeah. I forget what day it is, but YouTube. Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky hosting it because they complained about being in their shoes all day, those little penny loafer shoes that they wear. Yeah. Danhausen was interrupting it a lot. Another thing to look out for is tomorrow, especially, while we're on this promo because it's sort of related to it, is RJ City comes out with another AEW show for YouTube tomorrow as well. That's with this. Look it up tomorrow. It's him and Danhausen tomorrow. It's called Hey EW.
Oh, okay.
Clever.
Hey you. That's what it is. Hey, H-E-Y-U.
Hey you.
Instead of A-E-W, hey E-W.
Gotcha.
Get it?
Gotcha.
It's RJ humor. I thoroughly enjoy it. Go watch it.
But we also have another dark room, dimly lit match, House of Black promo. I'm actually kind of enjoying these, though, to tell you the truth. I won't recap it because, just watch it. It's a lot of fantasy language and mythology. So I do like it. They're very poetic, very heavy on metaphors. And I think it's the right way to book these guys as more serious, kind of what they wanted the Dark Order to be right off the get.
You think a little different. The Dark Order is more like a Scientology cult or something like that.
Right? Yeah, fair point.
With those promos where it used to be the dude saying come and join us and all that stuff for everybody.
This Dark Order was Jim Baker. House of Black is more the non-hilarious House of Frightenstein or whatever.
Charles Manson.
Yeah, Charles Manson. Yeah, exactly.
Also, this whole thing, not sure who they cut a promo on because nothing was ever said on who they were actually cutting a promo on. I'm assuming it was Pac and Penta.
Yeah. Still, I guess, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
But up next, our second match of the show, and it is the grudge match here of Mercedes Martinez, the former hired gun of Team DMD, taking on Jamie Hayter, Britt Baker's henchwoman. And both women in the ring here as the bell rings here, and we're off and running. Of course, Baker and Reba are at ringside with Jamie Hayter there.
Reba, not Rebel.
I still mix that up. I don't know. But with all that interference we touched on, too, in the Revolution match, like Baker even said, where was Martinez to help out Thunder Rosa at Revolution? It was 3-on-1 in that match, and she was nowhere to be found. Maybe she just wasn't booked on the show. She never showed up.
Maybe.
I don't know. But both women here, they match up pretty evenly in terms of size and strength. They're teeing off on each other to start back and forth. Jamie Hayter, she's in control during the break here, having her way, posing to the crowd. And this match has really been a slugfest the whole time until Martinez hits a series of butterfly suplexes for a near fall. Big backbreaker by Jamie Hayter for a near fall of her own. And Baker versus Thunder Rosa on Dynamite coming up here, I wanted to make mention. Steel cage match with the title back on the line here in Thunder Rosa's hometown. So the finish of the Revolution match makes a lot more sense if they were looking a little bit down the road here.
Yeah.
Say, let's do it here. Yeah. In Thunder Rosa's hometown, where the title win will have more of a spotlight as opposed to being buried on the Revolution card.
And she's already shown that she's better than Britt in a hardcore match. And what is a steel cage match if not a hardcore match?
And it keeps out all the outside interference, right?
Correct, yeah.
So this is where the 50-50 booking comes in, because a lot of people are hating the length, I guess, of Revolution or the time that was consumed. But as Tony, you cannot keep that title off that that pay-per-view.
No.
So you could have just held it realistically till then and not do anything.
And the length,
I get it.
I mean, the length of the show, they have four pay-per-views a year, and it's like $50, $60 to buy the show. So they want to make sure they give you your money's worth or whatever. Like, I don't really have a beef like with the length of it. You want to get all your top stars and all your top titles on the show.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
But like, we would have knew with our picks if we knew the show was coming up. And you know what I mean? I, really, too, I was like really bleeding
you
there.
You know
for
what?
Thunder.
I'd rather not be able to predict it anyway. So okay, I don't mind cool. okay. myself, to be Perfect. Honest. Whatever. But so back to the match here. Martinez, she hits a spider German suplex off the top here. So as she's dangling by her legs off the top rope, Baker gets up on the apron. And Dex Mercedes Martinez here with Rick Knox not paying attention. I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, he was just kind of hanging out, looking the other direction.
Yeah, he was like tying Jamie Hayter's shoelace for some.
Oh,
like
Rebel,
that.
That's what it was. Rebel dropped her glasses, and he's like, "Oh, here you go, man."
Oh,
and
my then- glasses. Yeah, here you go, man. Yeah, here, let me get that for you. So Jamie Hayter, she takes advantage of this, obviously here, and hits a damn clothesline from hell. Just a big Stan Hansen lariat here, picks up the win. So post-match here, Team DMD, they're teasing a beatdown on Martinez, but Thunder Rosa's music hits. She storms the ring with a steel chair in hand and chases off all the heels. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a great match. I'm a big fan of Hayter because she has that like very like stiff sort of style.
Yeah.
And same with Martinez. There's just like two sluggers going at it. It was good. And then you mix in, you know, a little bit of wrestling. Yeah, it was a short match, but it was
yeah, their
was
a good their match. Style doesn't allow for like a lot of see-through stuff or whatever, right? Which can be a complaint a lot of times, right, when you have inexperienced workers in there. So yeah, I have no qualms with the match at all. I thought it was hard-hitting and good. The story continues a little bit longer here, obviously leading up to the big showdown next week. Is it next week with Baker and Rosa in the cage?
Yeah, on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Dynamite.
So. Dynamite.
So, and I want Dynamite. Florida. Why is my name Florida?
Well, that brings us right into a Hikaru Shida Serena Deeb video package with a Hikaru Shida promo on Serena Deeb. Shida's talking about how she's been thinking about Serena this whole time she's been gone. Also been thinking about revenge, but we'll get to that. She has a revenge written on her cheek, though. Same way she had I'm back written. Was it last week on Rampage when she attacked Serena, right?
Yeah, with the kendo stick and sent her flying over the table. And
That's right. So she's been like writing these messages that like cut into her promos. I kind of like it. It's kind of like, you know, they all mean something, which is kind of cool. And either way, though, she's not done with Deeb. And if Deeb tries to break Sheeta's knee again, she is going to cut her head off. Seems like a bit of an overreaction, but
she's going to trade in the kendo stick for a katana blade or something?
Yeah, she's going to turn into Lucy Liu from Kill Bill.
That's Thunder Spot, though.
That's right.
The Thunder Rosa came out like, what was her name? Uma
Kill
Thurman.
Bill.
Yeah,
Uma Thurman. Kill Bill? Oh, okay. Makes sense. Either way, I'm here for the whole thing. I want to see another Serena Deeb and Hikaru Shida match.
Yeah, what is this match 8 coming up? Yeah,
unsanctioned lights out. Let's go.
That brings us to the third match of the show. It is Keith Lee taking on QT Marshall, and Keith Lee, he gets a big entrance here with music and all. So we finally got one on the show. His graphic shows that he's 2-1 with his one loss being the Revolution ladder match.
See, that's strange that they would that would be your overall record would be a 6-person.
They count everything in
yeah,
there
that's weird.
By the sounds of it. Yeah. Yeah. So
Scorpio Sky, baby.
Yeah. So Powerhouse Hobbs, he's out here now standing behind Starks and Excalibur with Excalibur noting that Hobbs went crashing through the table at Revolution, losing as well in that match. So they're really kind of keeping a spotlight here on the bad blood here between Hobbs, Starks, and Keith Lee.
Yeah.
So as both men are in the ring here, the crowd is chanting, "Oh, basket is glory." So that's the big Keith Lee chant for the crowd here that he's getting a great reaction for.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, I couldn't really hear it. Is that like to like the tune of like the Seven Nation Army thing?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Doesn't what's his name? Doesn't what's his name do that though?
Fans fit any sort of thing into that song.
Johnny DeLuca.
Oh, Johnny DeLuca. Yeah,
doesn't he have a thing?
Well,
like
I don't
that?
Know if.
I obviously, yeah. I didn't mean he came up with it first. He's a lot no. younger than
But the Baskin and Glory thing, the way they did the chant came from the NXT crowd. Or whatever, oh, okay, from okay. Before.
But the Seven Nation Army, like that tune, like fans just fit whatever chant on That's top it. Of that tune uh-huh. for like lots of different
in
things.
Every sport.
Yeah, wrestling, yeah, honestly, really a lot of different things.
No,
yeah.
I know. It just it clicked in my head when we went to that HWE show. I'm like, oh, yeah. Is it, Johnny oh, DeLuca. Johnny DeLuca.
And by the way, he's wrestling today. But
oh yeah, that's right.
So QT Marshall, I gotta give him credit here. He's being a great shithead heel. He's gets right in Lee's face and takes a headbutt for his trouble. Lee, he's manhandling QT early before an eye poke and some body shots like he's a boxer here by QT that only serve to tick off the big man who double chops him down. Lee hits QT with the big Beal that's been so impressive so far. One of his big spots, just tossing him right across the ring. Crowd reacting huge to this. They're really fired up for Keith Lee. But QT, he actually takes down Keith Lee here with a beauty missile dropkick off the top, but only gets a one count for his trouble. And QT's cronies here, they're helping out as Aaron Solo, he distracts the ref. Nick Camarado grabs Keith Lee by the ankle, which allows QT to hit a super kick.
Hey, Cutie Marshall.
Allows the cutie over there to hit a super kick and signals for the diamond cutter.
That's so dumb. I don't know. I'm like, why is he doing a diamond cutter?
It's because DDP was like a big part of the Nightmare family with the ball and everything. Okay. Yeah. Which the whole, I think all references to like the Nightmare family have kind of been gone. Like I think Arn Anderson and Lee Johnson and Brock, they don't have any more Nightmare logos on their stuff or anything like that.
No, I think it's all kind of done, right?
So. Yeah, Cody's gone, right? So, but Keith Lee, he blocks the diamond cutter attempt, sends QT Marshall flying with a shoulder tackle, and then Keith Lee, here's the finish. He hits his big-ass F5 slam thing that he does. I don't know if there's a name for it or what, yeah, but he gets him up on the shoulders and slams him down.
I forget. Typhoon or something like that. I don't know what he calls it.
The Limitless.
Limitless Driver or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, Limitless Driver, yeah.
But Keith Lee picks up the 1-2-3. And after the match here, as soon as the bell rings, Aaron Solo jumps on Keith Lee's back. He gets tossed. Nick Camarado tries his luck as well, but takes a power bomb out of his boots. And Aaron Solo, then he gets tossed 10 feet in the air over the top rope on the QT and the lads on the floor. And then Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs, they want a little taste to the action as well. So they jump off commentary, hit the ring. With Powerhouse Hobbs getting the upper hand here, laying out Keith Lee with a spine buster, and Starks and Hobbs stand tall over Keith Lee at the end of this segment here.
They actually looked really good, like coming out there, like they were all in synchronicity. It was great. Great post-match beatdown. There's a lot of post-match beatdowns. There's a lot of critiques I
every
can
match.
Give, but
every match has
this
something.
Was a good one. I kind of like this one.
Let's give a clap to QT. You know what? We've been really hard on that guy for these months, but he makes everybody look damn good.
Yeah, he really
he
does.
He fills this role of being the...
like buffoon heel or whatever.
Yeah, real a-hole heel that just runs his mouth and then gets his comeuppance at the end, but like he's a good technical worker that he doesn't bumble around in the ring. He does everything properly. He does a good
job. He's 2022's version of Iron Mike Sharp.
Sure, that's great comparison, right?
That's it.
He's the Brooklyn Brawler or something like that, right?
No, we'll say I'm Mike Sharp.
Okay,
we're going with Mike Sharp.
Canada's greatest athlete.
Yeah.
Bret Hart?
No, Iron Mike Sharp. Hamilton's greatest athlete. Canada's
greatest athlete. So Ethan Page?
Big difference. Yeah.
But overall, good match. Like, I don't know, proved the story great, and Keith Lee's going to destroy everybody.
Not if Powerhouse Hobbs has anything to say about it.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Starks and Hobbs. This is a good pairing overall with those three.
Very good.
That brings us right into my favorite segment of the show, and that's your Mark Henry interview of the week.
Yeah.
him interviewing the competitors before the main event, and Mark starts off by asking Tony why he challenged Swerve. And Tony tells him, it's because he's the premier athlete, and he hasn't lasted the match all year. I mean, it's been 2 months. But okay,
he's taking Scorpio Sky's gimmick now, too. Been wrestling on dark this whole time, everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
I swear I have.
I swear I've been winning. but yet, Swerve got the whole big debut on the pay-per-view, and Nice didn't. A little jealous there. Swerve fires right back at saying that Tony's sounding like a real hating ass dude. Burn. Got him burned. And to be honest, they have some history together. So let's revise history and let Swerve whoop his ass on Friday nights all over again like Tony's used to. Burn again.
Burn again.
And he's about to turn this building into whose house?
Swerve's house.
Swerve's house. I honestly don't really remember him much in WWE. NXT. I remember him more in, in NXT, but I'm saying, I know he was North American champ, but I remember him more being like in CZW.
I'm not sure about CZW. I never watched him there.
He fought like Leo Rush and like, a big fatal four-way match that they had at Cage of Death. That was huge.
I know he wrestled everywhere. I really enjoyed him. I actually really liked him in NXT as well. At the beginning, I didn't. Once he progressed along, I think it was after like the first year and did the faction thing, I really enjoyed him. Really, really good wrestler.
Yeah.
And young. Like, he reminds me of a young R-Truth. That's a perfect prime example. So we're going all nostalgia.
A better Leo Rush, I would say.
A better Leo Rush?
Yeah.
No, I would say R-Truth. He has a lot of R-Truth Ron Killings.
Because he's got like the height and the build, you mean?
Or? Well, even the move sets and everything. Ron Killings back in the day used to do the exact same stuff he did.
Incorporating like breakdancing and stuff, just like that.
Just demeanor, everything about him. So I'd say like Leo Rush is good, but that's a good example. But I'd say an R-Truth.
Okay, fair
enough. Ron Killings. We'll say Ron Killings. Okay. That was better.
Given the government name, all right. Yeah. But that runs us right into our Dynamite card rundown for St. Patrick's Day Slam this week, coming up on Wednesday. And we have Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa in a steel cage match for the women's title. Yay. Should be good.
Yep. Very good.
John Moxley and Brian Danielson is their first match as a team, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Versus Chuck Taylor and Wheeler Yuta.
Couldn't they put them against a heel team?
Well, I guess.
I don't know.
They're kind of, are they supposed to be face? That's the point I'm wondering.
I think they're tweeners.
That's what I mean.
I don't know. I guess, I don't know.
Because like Moxley could be face, like no problem.
And they got William Regal teamed with him now too.
Yeah.
And he got the biggest reaction on Revolution.
Yeah, but he turned real angry at the end of it. So you never know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. It's not a big deal, I guess.
We also have Hangman, Adam Page, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus versus Adam Cole. Too many Adams. Adam Cole and Red Dragon in a trios match. So that'll be pretty cool.
That'll be like action-packed for sure.
Yeah.
Greater Hangman.
That cracked me up. The crowd in that Cole Hangman main event was just chanting, "Let's go, Adam."
Yeah, let's go. Oh, man. And they also have Scorpio Sky versus Wardlow for the TNT title. So I don't know. That could go either way.
Angle alert.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to be Wardlow. I hope to God, Gore Wardlow. This is war.
Yes. So now it is time for the main event. It is Shane Swerve Strickland versus the premier athlete, Tony Nese. Did they drop the Shane? Is it just Swerve Strickland now?
Swerve Strickland.
That is what it was before.
It was Swerve Scott before, though.
Was it?
Yeah.
Shane, I'll be Swerve honest. Scott. This is my first time ever seeing Swerve in a match.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So this was my first exposure to him, and I got to say, spoiler alert, I was impressed.
Oh, very good. Very good. No.
So Tony Nese, he's out first. He's on a 5-match winning streak at 9-1 overall, apparently. If a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it.
Here's the thing. Didn't he just say in the interview beforehand that he's undefeated this year?
This year.
Maybe in singles competition he lost the tag match or something like that. Yeah, or like all that time he spent sitting out in the crowd, he got in a fight with a fan and lost or something. I don't know.
He lost to some dude. He spilled the nachos on his shirt. He's like, come on, man.
Yeah. Glad I can agree with you on something, Matt. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just got to say, next to my notes here is like Tony Nese has really been an afterthought for me like since he signed in AEW. So like, I hope all that scouting he was doing out in the crowd kind of helps him out here for his own sake. But just to be brought in to be a technician and someone that can go and give a good match, can't go wrong with putting him in. I will say that.
Right.
So Swerve, he gets a big pop from the crowd. He really feels like a star already, despite having his debut match on Rampage. Now, like AEW and Tony Khan might not view Rampage as their B show, but let's be honest, it kind of is.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, for a new debuting star, I think he should have got a match on Dynamite, but just me.
We review Rampage, and we're saying we are the number one show. No, I'm joking.
Hey, where's the lie? I'm just saying.
Okay.
But Swerve, they go on to say here on his little graphic thingy that he's won 12 titles in 11 different companies. So well-traveled athlete, yep. Right? So
CZW heavyweight champion.
There you go.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yep. Yes, go ahead. Sorry, I forgot about that. Yes.
So both guys in the ring here and the crowd, they're really into it. They're excited for this. It's whose house?
Swerve's house.
It's Tony's house, damn it. Tony Nese is telling the crowd, it's my house.
That was so funny. Just walking up on the ropes, like, it's my house, damn
it. It's my house.
Still real to me, damn it.
So Excalibur, he's running down to upcoming live events, and AEW is coming to Detroit at the Little Caesars Arena. I was like, oh, man, that is within driving distance for us. I'm like, I wonder if the Dark Side boy is going to have to make a little roadie down to Detroit.
I mean, I'd be down to go to Detroit. That's not that far.
Got
to
update my passport, but maybe we could do it. And that's a big arena. Yeah. That's a big arena comparably what they're doing.
I already saw the ticket availability and the lower bowls almost already sold out from the pre-sale and stuff. Okay. But we could get upper deck tickets or something.
Whatever.
Aftermarket. We'll look into it a little after, but come back to that one day. off camera or off mic. off camera. So back to the match here. This match gets a lot of time here. It's a good showcase for both of these guys. It's not 205 on Friday night anymore. It's Rampage, baby.
Rampage.
So let's go. Tony Nese, he's really chirping back and forth with the crowd here. But Swerve keeps getting the upper hand on their exchanges. Both guys really showing off their athleticism early. Front flips on their feet over the ropes and front flips on the floor. Swerve had that one where he went head over heels over the top rope and landed on the floor. And
he just kind of walked away.
So Tony Nese, he's really trying hard to be that asshole here against the confident fan favorite. So both guys playing that heel baby face. They got the dynamic down for this match, I thought. So Swerve, he's selling during the break as Tony Nese keeps cutting him off anytime Swerve tries to fight back. Tony Nese, he's got the body scissors locked on. Swerve is reaching to the crowd for the support as he fights his way out. He's like, come on, people. Come on, give me your energy.
You gotta believe.
Come on. So Nese, he catches Swerve with an uppercut and clotheslines Swerve over the top, but misses the moonsault, creating the opening that Swerve needs here. Big chops by Swerve, followed up by an uppercut to the back of the head off the middle rope. Deadlift brainbuster by Swerve for two. Tony Nese catches Swerve on the top rope, kicks him straight up into the air like Shawn Michaels style, but catches him in the fireman's carry here for a gut buster and a near fall. And Taz couldn't help but laugh that if Swerve lost in his debut, it'd be a Swerve. It'd be a Swerve, bro.
It is funny.
It is. I know. I just like laughing at Taz. Taz always pops me.
He's like the ultimate dad joke. You know what I mean? When he says it, get it? It's funny.
Oh, man. Taz has had some hilarious stuff on Dark when he's been that over the last year or two. Real funny. But 450 splash here by Nese, but Swerve kicks out at two. These guys, they got some great sequences here. Really smooth stuff by both guys. The crowd's biting on some near falls. Swerve goes up to the top here. This is the finish. We had a double foot stomp off the top, and Swerve picks up the win in his debut. Is that his finishing move, the double stomp off the top?
No.
Like Finn Balor style?
No.
I can't remember what it is, actually, now that
it's
I think
not
about
that.
It.
No, I have to look back. I didn't read this last
one. It's not the coup de grace?
Coup de grace.
That's the coup de grace.
No, definitely wasn't that. Really good match, though.
Yeah.
Really good start. Perfect person to put him up against. It is Rampage. That is the, good. Who else would you put him up against? Really thinking of it.
They have 100 guys that are, pretty damn good.
Yeah, but you haven't seen Tony Nese in a bit.
I was impressed by Tony Nese. Honestly, right? Both guys won me over at that, and I wasn't expecting to be won over by Nese that much, but he looked just as good, in my opinion, too.
Right, and then you have Swerve coming out. Keith Lee already fought QT.
Yeah.
So QT's gone. Can't put him against Hook.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you could go down the roster and find someone to put him against if you wanted
to. Well, again, Swerve fought Tony Nese a lot.
Yeah, it was a natural pairing, right? Yeah. They could even go back and forth about their history of 205 Live and wrestling on Friday nights and a different company and blah, blah, blah. It was a natural pairing, right?
Right. Not on the TV show then, but... because it'd be against copyright rules, right? Talking about WWE or stuff like that.
They hinted at it. Wrestling fans are great reading between
Friday
the lines.
Nights, right?
Friday nights.
Anyone watching that kind of has an idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought Swerve looked great. Honestly, great debut, great match.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, it's been a while since I've seen him. I think the last time I saw him wrestle was in CZW, but.
Yeah, NXT for me. Oh, it wasn't too long ago when he left that.
Yeah, I was going to say that was only a couple of years ago, right? Yeah. Like a year.
But they had a big announcement for next week, too, and they did put it out a couple of times during the show. AEW Rampage will be on next week at 11:30 after the basketball game.
Thanks, March Madness.
Yes, thanks.
Only the biggest sporting event in the country for the U.S.
Yeah, I want to watch my Rampage at 10.
I don't usually start it till about 11:30 anyway. I wait for it to finish so I can kind of pause and go at my own pace when I do notes. So
yeah.
I'm going to have to wait till like 1 in the morning now to do it.
I probably won't be doing notes on it that I think about it because I got to work in the morning, but that's okay.
Yeah. No worries. Boys, we got each other's backs. We'll take care of it.
That's it. So, yeah, it starts. And I wonder what the schedule is going to be with all the basketball coming up, too. So I wonder if it's going to be a couple more nights as it's being pushed to 11:30.
It might be because March Madness is usually, what, 3 weeks long?
Two. Right.
Yeah.
Two or three. Yeah.
Right. So it could happen. I mean, NCAA is, like, huge on TNT.
It could happen.
So, and it's actually, surprisingly, no March Madness pools to be had.
Yeah. I don't care about college basketball.
I actually don't mind it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So that's where you see the stars of tomorrow.
I guess. Like, there's no college basketball. It's not a thing in Toronto, really. So it's just never on my radar.
No. You have Toronto players usually playing on, like, a lot of, like, Ivy League teams.
Fair
like,
enough.
Bigger teams. Yeah. Depends, like, obviously. Not all the time, but.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Well, enough about that basketball, because that's for another show for BAM, and you can catch BAM on Friday.
No, I made for a good segue right there.
There you go. But Eric, do you got any thank yous or anything you want to go through?
Yeah, I can if you want. If you can, give us a follow on Twitter at DarkSideOfTheE, Instagram at DarkSideOfTheElite, Facebook, YouTube, you name it, we're DarkSideOfTheElite. Hopefully coming up soon, we'll do some stuff with WWE 2K22, which I have currently downloaded but not yet played. So once I get it played, that'll be good. We'll probably put that either on our Twitch channel or maybe even on my channel at twitch.tv/erka90, ERKE90. All links are in the description. Randy, do you have anybody or anything?
We'll
like
go with Matt first. We got a big ramble at the very end. Okay. That I have to go through.
I just want to thank everyone for joining the show today. For any new listeners who have tuned in, we hope you like what you've heard. We really encourage everyone to go to the SNME Patreon and sign up. It's about $1 a week. You get 7 shows, great content for all your wrestling listening needs. And we really appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter if you would like at mroberts85. That is at mroberts85. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the show this week. And hope you tune in again next time.
That was great, Matt. Thank you for doing that. Yeah, for only $1 a week, you can come see plenty of great shows, like the main show that's tomorrow that you can catch on radio, but it's always good to listen back if you don't want to stay up that late. That's the Sunday night main event, the main radio show that is tomorrow Sunday night, if you're listening to it. On Monday is a great day for shows because you got Jason Agnew and the trivia recap from the Sunday morning show. Also, you got Dan's lunch party.
Dr. Mouth's lunch
party. Dr. Mouth, yes.
Yes.
Tuesday.
Get it right.
Get it right. I know I'm doing really bad on this. I have a bad memory today. Tuesday, you normally get Tuesday morning cooked. I know it was a little late this week, but they explained it on last week's show. But it's definitely a good show. One of my favorite shows of the week. Bringing to you Wednesday with NXT Talk with Matt and Boris, the NXT going recap of the NXT show from the night before. Then on Thursday, you got All Elite Weekly with the old fucks Dan and Joe. Great show. Bringing it to Friday, you got BAM Sports, what we just talked about with Boris and Matt. Talk all things wrestling, all things sports. And with MLB coming back, they have a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. And then bringing to Saturday again, with our buds, the Smack Daddies, going over the SmackDown review of last night. And I guess they have a lot to talk about today with Big E getting hurt.
Yeah.
So go listen to that show.
Yeah, I just want to, I think from all of us, say best wishes to Big E and recovery. That was scary.
Yep.
That's it. So, yeah, sorry for going through that rundown like that. But, yeah, it's only a dollar a week. If you haven't signed up, please go now to patreon.com/SNME Radio. Sign up now so you can hear all this great content. And you can follow me on Twitter, Dark Side of the Elite. Go follow the Dark Side Elite, like Eric said, on all the Twitter and everything. And, yes, we are doing 2K22. I already played it, and I love it. Matt Editor, I challenge you. So until next week, I guess, come and join us.
Whose house is it?
Whose house?
No, Eric's house. You're my house.
We're at Eric's house.
Ha, 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 ha.
Gotcha. Throw the pause up.